Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Dream Big Podcast with Bob Goff and friends. This is your host, Scott Schimmel. And in 2 days, Bob, it's Christmas.
Oh, that's, isn't that great? I just have been already poking out underneath the tree and peeling back the paper to see what's there. Did you used to do that when you were a kid?
Never. In fact,
Come on. The statute of limitations is run. We can be authentic here. Hey, you know, and what a great kind of segue into Mark Batterson.
Yep.
This guy is a gift. There is a ton there. He is so well-spoken, so well-read, but more than all of that, and he runs Monster Church in Washington, D.C., but way more than all that, he's just a good guy.
Yeah, and what he does in this conversation is help us think about 2021. And I know if you're like me, 2020, it's a year not just to forget, but it's a year of unexpected things. It's a year of loss and anxiety and fear. And normally we kind of roll into the end of the year and start thinking about, okay, what are my goals? What are my ambitions? And it's hard to do that when you're still carrying a lot of the negative stuff, the stress, the anxiety, the fear, the disappointment. And so as you listen in to Bob's conversation with Mark, just pay attention to some of the little nuggets of wisdom and pointers and tips for what it looks like to engage with the healthiest parts of ourselves, the best parts of ourselves. So we can roll into next year ready for whatever God has for us. So you're going to love this conversation between Bob Goff and Mark Batterson.
Mark, thanks so much for jumping on the podcast. It's so good to be with you.
Are you kidding, Bob? This is a special treat for me.
I'm kind of cheating here because I get to see you and you get to see me. We haven't been in the same room for a little while. We've done a couple of gatherings. There's one down in Atlanta that comes to mind. And then you and your son were with us up in Canada before we burned the lodge down.
Yes. And do we need to clarify? We had nothing to do with that.
Yeah. Okay. We're getting DNA samples. I got a hair off your pillow and then one off the deck.
Yeah. Well, listen, the last time we saw each other, I think, was in the Indianapolis airport. And I'm thinking besides Disneyland, like the best place to run into Bob Goff, your best shot is probably in an airport. So,
yes. Yeah, that changed a little bit, as do the headlines in our lives. One of the headlines for me for the last long time that people that are listening has been, I've wanted to be home. I've just wanted to return. And so this has been a great opportunity. All of 2020 has been spent at home. We really kind of peaced out in January of this year, and then weird things happened in March, and here we are at the end of the year. And one of the things that I'll remember about 2020 will be home. I was just home. How about you, Mark? What's kind of the headline for 2020 for you?
Well, you know, I first of all, Bob, I saw this study that said that 18% of leaders feel qualified to lead right now. I'm wondering who those 18% are, because all of us are a little past our pay grade. All of us are a little out of our depth. But I will say this, Bob, I have never felt more daily dependence upon the Holy Spirit to be spirit-filled, spirit-led, and kind of lean in. And I would say to stay calm and carry on as a leader during this season. I think that's how I'll look back at this time, that try not to panic. Panic usually doesn't play out very well when you're in a leadership capacity.
Yes, and find somebody that can do the job better than you. We have a flagpole, and because we're the consulate for the Republic of Uganda here at the house, we fly the Ugandan flag above the house for many reasons, including that when the flag flies, we actually are the country of Uganda. Isn't that crazy? Diplomatic mission of this foreign government. And so the flagpole halyard broke, the rope that takes the flag up and down. And it broke about 6 months ago. And so I've been staring at this flagpole, and I really wanted to put the flag because it has meaning to me, but I couldn't because there was this impediment in the way, like hence and so goes 2020. What I did, though, is I found a guy to go up the pole. Now, if I went up the pole at 225 plus a little bit, you'd have a bent pole and I'd be in a wheelchair. But this guy I got to go up a pole looks like he makes jockeys look big. And I just found the right guy for the job.
I love it, Bob.
And then he had the right tools for the job. He had some little gizmo that made him go vertical and not over. Tell me how that applies with what you're doing. Who's the right person for the job as we're looking into the end of this year and looking towards the next year? Tell me about that person that we should be thinking about becoming. You talked about spirit-filled, which is just a faith. If you're listening to this and faith is important to you, it's just a sense of who God is in your life. And there's some scriptures that talk about that. It's been described as a counselor, a comforter, a rushing wind, all kinds of stuff. But tell me about the guy you want to be going forward.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'd like to be that non-anxious presence that Edwin Friedman talked about famously, the leadership guru. You know, Bob, more and more I feel like emotional intelligence is more and more important, especially in the culture that we're in with some of the tensions we're experiencing. And of course, I'm here in DC, so we feel some of that polarization on a political plane. I think it's so critical for leaders to strike the right tone. And right now, to me, that has a lot to do with humility. It has a lot to do with gentleness. A gentle answer turns away wrath. It has a lot to do with civility. To me, that's public grace in the public square. It's these attributes that you don't really learn it in an MBA program or PhD in organizational leadership, but it's those sixth sense intangibles. At the end of the day, I want to work with people that I like doing life with and that I can laugh with.
Yeah, and, bingo.
Yeah, so I think that sense of humor piece, pretty important right now too, just to keep a sense of humor and a sense of perspective while acknowledging that we've got serious issues and challenges that we're facing. It's that old Stockdale paradox, right? Confront the brutal facts with unwavering faith. And so that's kind of where my headspace is these days as a leader.
Yeah, so well said. This is from a guy that's written 18 New York Times bestsellers, right? I'm so... just so delighted that you have the ability to knit words and stories together the way you do. One of the things that I would say is to figure out if you're listening, figure out who you want to be and then have it inform what you do and then do lots of that. Like, that's it. Super complicated. Who don't want to be, but I want to be, let's say you're listening and you want to be an awesome husband. Like, awesome. That's great. Have that inform what you do. So if you're just doing a lot of business that's taking you away from the family, you might not hit what you're aiming for. But if you want to be an awesome businessman, be like, awesome. Kill it. But all your clothes might be out on the lawn when you get home. So I would just be really wise about like who you want to be and syncing that up. And the one thing, to your point, will be authenticity. So we don't want to trade in leadership consistency for authenticity. So you want to be the consistent leader. You want to be consistent in the workplace and with your colleagues and your family and your friends. But if you sacrifice the reality of the authenticity to say, man, I'm just feeling a little down today, or I'm feeling a little bit abandoned. I'm not the victim in this. I'm just a participant, but I want to be an active participant. Well, tell me the things about consistency and authenticity and leadership roles.
Yeah, well, Bob, I think it's 1/3 of Americans are experiencing depression or anxiety right now. I don't think leaders are immune to that or exempt from that. Our percentages might even be higher, because I think sometimes we're dealing with more issues. And so I think the authenticity piece is just keeping it real, People love success stories, of course, but you know what else people love? Failure stories, because then they know that they're not alone. You know, I often share the fact that our first attempt at starting a church was a failure, and it did not go as planned, and it was embarrassing and it was disillusioning. But boy, does that keep you grounded when the second attempt, you know, goes a little bit better. And so I think the authenticity piece is big, and the consistency piece, because, you know, no matter what goal you're going after, what dream you're trying to see become a reality, whatever problem you're trying to solve, or whatever habit you're trying to break or build, I know exactly how it's going to happen. It's going to happen one day at a time. There are no shortcuts. And so, in fact, can I throw a fun fact out? Because I'm so grateful for the way, Bob, that you're helping writers kind of fulfill that dream with your workshopping. And I read the other day that 80% of people feel like they have a book in them, that 80% of people want to write a book. Well, I might share that when I was 22, that's the moment, Bob, where I felt like this is what I'm destined to do. The funny thing is, I took one of those graduate assessments that showed a low aptitude for writing.
Yeah.
So in other words, whatever you do, don't write books. And yeah. So what I did is I read 3,000 books before I wrote one, because I knew I had to reverse engineer, and it took me 13 years. And so all of that to say this, that I do believe that we all have gifts. And I think God's the one who gives them to us. And God wants to use us at our place of greatest giftedness. But I also think it's your place of greatest weakness, where you can sometimes discover a unique compensatory skill that can actually be your greatest contribution to the world. And so to sort of package that, the way I think about it is God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And so whatever dream it is that's in your heart, I think it can become a reality with some consistency and some authenticity.
Yeah, and a lot of hard work. I'm thinking about Pinocchio's ambition. He wanted to become a real boy, which is great. Me too.
I love it.
And so I don't think there's going to be a blue fairy that's going to show up in your life. But what she told him is to be brave and truthful and selfless. And like, that's the way to become real. I'm like, boom. One of the things that I've enjoyed about you among 1,000 is that you're a note taker. And so if you're listening, Mark and I are on a Zoom call here, but Mark is a note taker, as am I. And if you want to be a great writer, if you want to be a great, insert here, husband, dad, colleague, discoverer of truth, take notes. You want to live a noteworthy life? Take notes. And I think for us, if we could just put ourselves in this role of, we are both physician and patient, we are professor and student, and to say in conversations that we have, in podcasts that we listen to, in phone calls that we have, in emails you respond to, be a note taker. Every time I respond to somebody, I want to say something worth taking notes about. Not that because I'm noteworthy, but I think the conversation is worthy of having some notes taken. So what? Tell us about that. I know one of the things that you're releasing is a book, Win the Day. It's going to be another New York Times bestseller. But the more important part, I bet, is the function of perhaps some of the conversations that you've thought about being brave, being truthful, being unselfish, to take note of what's going on around you and then keep it super real. So tell us about this. This is about some daily habits to help us like kind of land the stress in our lives and get more stuff done. So I'm at your feet. I got my pen out. Come on, talk to me.
I love it, Bob. Yeah, let's riff on that for a minute. I can't remember who said it, but The shortest pencil is longer than the longest memory.
Oh, that's so awesome.
I've always been a big believer. I really don't go anywhere without my journal. And if I'm meeting with someone, I often have it with me. And sometimes I'll ask permission to take notes because then you lose a little bit of eye contact. But it's also my way of saying, I have a hunch that you're going to say something that I need to learn. And so when I was 21, I read that classic book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And remember this Emerson quote. He said, every person is my superior in some way, in that I learn of them. And so I try to approach relationships that way. And then I never read a book without a pen because I want to make sure I can underline and asterisk and kind of leaf over the page. And it's just taking that I think learning mindset. And I live by this little mantra, if you stay humble and stay hungry, nothing that God can't do in you or through you. And I think it starts with that learning perspective, if you will. Hey, on that note, do you remember the first time we had dinner years ago?
Oh, yeah.
You
oh,
were
totally.
Kind enough to speak at NCC. And I'll never forget what you said. You said, as we sat down to dinner, we were just getting to know each other. And you said, you guys should take over a country. And it's one of these moments, Bob, that I will never forget because I'll say, first of all, I love being around people that stretch my faith and that make me laugh. And you're kind of the great combo of both. But it really, I've never forgotten that moment. I wrote that down. And man, we've taken it to heart, and really we're believing big, or maybe I should say we're dreaming big. Thanks to that kind of, you never know what you might say that might spark a God idea in someone else. And I actually am eternally grateful for that moment. And but it comes back to, you have to take notes, you have to remember those important things and hang on to them.
Yeah, I think for each of us, we enter into our conversations and phone calls and all that. I want to be a participant. This is like stone soup. Everybody throws in what they've got and everybody gets fed. That's how the village gets fed. You throw in your carrots and the cabbage. It starts with three stones and a bunch of hot water, and you really end up with something. And so to take the things that are going on around you, but to start at your home, because that's what matters most, whether that has resulted in a marriage, whether you're single, but just tell me, what does it feel like? Can you smell the cookies in the oven? Like, what does home feel like to you? And for some people to say, that brings to me a place that isn't safe, or brings to mind a place that's lonely, or brings to mind a place where I feel a joy or sadness or a little bit of everything. And so come to your conversations. If you want to write a book, come to that. What does home look like? And to say, every movie that captures your attention, it'll have a theme in there about getting home. It's Finding Nemo. That's why they want to help. That's why most people can remember it's 42 Wallaby Way, you know, P. Sherman, 42 Wallaby Way, because they're wanting the little fellow to get home. It's like, it's Apollo 13. They just want the guys to get home, right?
What
I want us to do is to start at home. You want to start in your leadership. You want this to be an awesome upcoming year. Get those things in order rather than medicating it with all these distractions. So busyness for me and activity, and although this can be a distraction for me, it takes me away from the important work right here. And you can do both. It's not a binary decision. It's like this or this. It's this and this in a really healthy way.
Could we tag team on that, Bob? Because as you're talking about the decision you made in January to spend a little bit more time on the home front, there are kind of two things that have framed my life over the last several years. One is that at the end of the day, I want to be famous in my home.
Bingo.
And it's hard to be famous in your home if you're never home. And so it was several years ago that I made a critical decision that I would only do 7 overnight speaking trips a year. And if I had not put that boundary in place, again, thinking about a new year, this is a moment to put some boundaries in place, almost to protect yourself against yourself in a sense, or to reprioritize. What are some of those boundaries that can protect the things that are most important? And then I would even push that envelope a little bit further, that how do you define success? For me, success is when those who know me best respect me most. And that's my wife and my kids. And so as long as I keep that as the priority, then I'm not as worried about the Amazon rankings or how many people are coming or leaving what I lead, because those aren't the metrics that define who I am at the end of the day.
Yeah. So for you listening in, and think of this dashboard that you've got like on a car, these will be the metrics that will drive your life. Like the RPMs for me, irrelevant. I want to redline them. But the mileage that I'm putting on Sweet Maria Goff, redlining my life, that metric would be really helpful to say, you know, being married to Tigger is a lot of energy. And maybe what we can do, if we really want to be real boys, if we want to be do something brave and courageous, maybe the most courageous thing you can do is take it down a notch. Like there's just something really brilliant. Well, as a society, we just affirm that, and you're fun and you're gregarious and like, oh my gosh. But to say the person that you got in front of in a small chapel in front of a bunch of people and you said, I do, that wasn't like an announcement about all the stuff you were going to do. Just, I will be home. Like I'll be present. And like, just like a sweepstakes, must be present to win. And you can be close to home. I'm just thinking, for some reason, the Challenger incident springs to mind. They were 11 minutes from home when that happened. And I just think we can get close to home. We can get in proximity without being present. And so we have a little thing we do around here where we take each of our feet and we just plant them and we're just like, I am fully present right here. And then just those little ticks that'll help you remember. I sit down at the dinner table and I don't make a big deal about it, but I just plant both feet. I am right here. I am not in the last conversation and I'm certainly not in the next one. I am right here. And there's something that can help us.
Oh, I love that, Bob. You know, yesterday is history. Tomorrow is mystery.
Yeah. Right?
And so win the day. It's it really is about living one day at a time. Even this idea that each day is the first day and last day of your life. And so, you know, here we are kind of staring at the prospect of a new year. 75% of New Year's resolutions fail in the first month. I think part of it is that, you know, we get too focused on outcomes instead of inputs. And so, you know, I think if instead we have these daily habits or these daily rituals, and I love that one. I just made a note, because in the Batterson family, we might be planting our feet a little bit more in the coming year. So that's such a great
It's wow. actually kind of a really endearing thing when you hear around the table. It's like kunk, 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 kunk. It's like everybody's like fully here. And that there's something kind of beautiful. This idea, I love taking people through a multitasking exercise. I have them say, we'll do it, me and you. Give me the first 3 letters of the alphabet.
ABC.
Now the next 2 numbers in a row.
4 or 5.
The next 4 letters. Now the next 3 numbers.
Yeah.
Now the next two. Yep, can you see how you just get, like, we have to switch gears. And if we're just where our feet are, just like plant those feet, then you don't have to toggle between like this thing you're stressed out at work and the thing that you're, the little league game that you should be at or the one that you didn't get to or the whatever. Just say, let's just do, just be fully present. And some people do many things at a time and some people do many things in a row. And that's fine, however God wired you from the factory. But you can tell that it's not working for you and it's not working for the people around you if you're really stressed out. So talk to us about that. Like, what are some of the indicators and what are some practical tips about how to take the stress down a notch?
Yeah, well, I think part of it is I love this little question. And it's a question that sort of frames when the day, can you do it for a day? Now, Bob, if I said, can you do it for a week or a month or a year, the likelihood goes down and it actually starts feeling kind of overwhelming because, boy, I don't know if I can do it for a week or a month or a year, but I've never met anybody who said they couldn't do something for a day. Everybody can do it for a day. And so I just don't think we were wired to worry too much about tomorrow. And in fact, to live our lives in day-tight compartments. And so there's this famous prayer called the Lord's Prayer. And I'll tell you what I wish it said. I wish it said, give us this month our monthly bread. That's what I wish it said. Because I want more provision. So I don't need to trust as much, but no, it's give us this day our daily bread. And it's this idea of doing what you do one day at a time. And part of it is you overestimate what you can accomplish in a year or two, but you underestimate what God can do in 10 or 20 years. And so I think some of it is just, it's that mindset that you can stress less and accomplish more if you take that daily approach to whatever that goal or dream is. In fact, fun example, I had asthma for 40 years.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, severe asthma. I slept with an inhaler under my pillow. There wasn't 40 days in 40 years that I didn't take a puff. And it's a long story. You know, doctors would call it spontaneous remission. I would call it a miracle. I don't have asthma anymore, not since July 2nd, 2016. And to celebrate that, Bob, I thought I'm going to run a marathon. I'm going to do something I could have never thought about doing. But I didn't go out and run 26.2 miles. I downloaded a marathon plan. And I did 72 training runs that took me 475 miles. Then and only then could I, run that 26.2 miles. And I did not win the Chicago Marathon, but I did finish.
But I love the idea. The first thing that came to mind is that you decided to be a participant. You didn't say, I've had these things in my past that happened, and so that means I don't have permission to do it now. I'd say, like, if this whole belief system around being a new creation, it's a new day, new Bob. What is it that I can accomplish? What are some of the things I'm hoping for? Not to be scared off the scent because of something that hasn't gone well. You know, I bought the house around the corner from Nebuchadnezzar's there in on A Street a bunch of years ago. I thought this is going to be awesome. And then they changed a bunch of rules and we couldn't have this house. And I sold. I'm the only guy that's lost money selling real estate in Washington, D.C. But I had a beautiful ambition. I just wanted a place where these people that are making the decisions for government could come and just be together. And it was a worthwhile ambition. And so that hasn't scared me off from trying other things. I'm just not going to try that thing again. And say, yeah. So to say, like, what is it that you've been thinking about? And it's just another way of saying, if you're listening to this, what do you want the headline for 2021 to be? You want? How about this for an uninspiring headline? Didn't try, didn't fail. I'm like, what the heck? Scared to show up, like afraid to make the call, fearful of rejection. That's kind of sounding real, but I'm looking for the what follows that, fearful for rejection, and then I want the story of a person that tried anyway. Those make stories. Those are the stories that are repeated within your family where you're famous, that he was a guy, she was a gal who tried this thing, even though they were afraid of a couple things that and had some bad outcomes before, they just showed up fully present, right where their feet are. Give us any last kind of tips as we roll in, closing up this year and rolling into next year. Some tips for taking stress down a notch, for building in purpose in your life. You've been such an influence in my life and so many others. Any kind of closing thoughts?
Well, you know, as you're sharing that, one of the things that comes to mind for me, I referenced this failed attempt at starting a church. And listen, I've had some failed attempts in business, I've tried a lot of things that haven't panned out the way that I wanted. But Bob, I've learned that the cure for the fear of failure is not success; it's failure in small enough doses that you build up an immunity to it.
And well put.
You realize you stand up, you dust off, and you give it another go. I think there are some people that they live their lives, I would call them win the lottery people. They're people that just hope they get lucky, you know, and maybe I can win the lottery someday. And then there are win the day people. There are people that just show up day in and day out, kind of the unsung heroes. And I really believe if you do the right things day in and day out, I think God has a way of showing up and showing off. And so don't be overwhelmed. Don't be overwhelmed by what's happened in 2020. And, you know, who knows what 2021 has in store. But I think if you take it one day at a time, you'll be surprised at how far you can get towards that goal, towards that dream. If you live your life just putting one day next to the other, one foot in front of the other, and making progress in some of those goals.
Yeah, we're closing the book on 2020, not the lessons learned, but the good ones you've learned. You will carry those. They're portable, the ones that are learned. And then talk about the things like right now. You don't want to talk about the catch you caught in high school, or the throw you dropped in high school. Unless you're in high school, talk about it. But what I want to do is to say, what happened today? And a guy who is the size of a jockey climbed my flagpole. And I want to like just dwell on those things. What is it that God's put in front of you today? What's a lesson I can harvest today to give me the guts and the grit to roll into tomorrow is a new creation. And the best way we can do that, I think, is kind of where we started. You want to get real? Take a genuine interest in the people around you. That's Philippians 2:20. Just take a genuine interest. There's no like agenda. I've got an agenda for me, Mark. I don't have an agenda for you. I'm just your friend. Yeah. But my agenda for me, I'm going to show up. I'm going to be authentic. And I'm going to try to sniff out the hope. Acts 1:1, look for many convincing proofs that Jesus is still alive. Man, I'm destined for his fingerprints. I've been seeing him in your life for a really long time, brother. I'm grateful for you.
Bob, I love it. And I think if we love everybody always, we're probably going to be okay.
Yeah. You know, if you start carving out, well, except for my sister.
Yeah, right? Well, and we have this mutual friend. He's a friend to you and a spiritual father to me, Dick Foe.
Yeah, good guy.
Bob, I love the way that Dick says it. You know, he says there are two kinds of people in the world. Someone who walks into a room and says, here I am. Kind of announce it. It's all about me, myself, and I. You know, yeah. Their ego barely fits through the door.
Yes.
There are people who walk into a room and say, there you are.
Oh, and it's
all
well
about
said.
Everyone else. And yeah. I'm so grateful. I love hanging around There You Are people. You're certainly at the top of that list, and so grateful for the example that you set, for your friendship, and so fun.
Yeah. So as we're wrapping this up, you've been listening to a great podcast, Mark's Input. And what I want you to do is find a wide spot in the road now. I don't want you steering with your knees. What I want you to do is find a spot. And if there was one or two things that shimmered a little bit, we write those down and to say, this is what I'm going to do about that. Just don't net that butterfly. Because if you say, I'm going to remember it, write it down after dinner, it ain't happening. I'm just shooting straight. You're going to walk away with Mark's a swell guy. But what I want you to walk away with is a couple ideas about how to take it down a notch and to say, what is this going to do to impact me in 2021? How can I have that shape, the headline for that year? What do I need to kind of close the book on in 2020? Mark, thank you. I love you, buddy. I'm with you. We're together even when we aren't together.
Yeah, I love you too, Bob. Blessings, and hope it's a great new year.
Yeah, baby. See ya.
Bob, one of the things that came out for me listening to you guys as I was taking notes, he hits a lot on this idea of emotional intelligence, which I think is sometimes like a catch-all term to say someone's really friendly and kind, but there's more to it than that. He talked about humility and grace and empathy. And the idea behind emotional intelligence is it's something that you can grow in. It's not something you either have or you don't. Maybe you can just share as we wrap up this conversation, what are some of your thoughts and how do you grow in emotional intelligence?
Yeah, some people might think of emotional intelligence as reading the room, but I want you to think of it differently. Think of it as building the room. Mm. It's a place that's safe where people can walk in and feel this place is filled with grace, filled with empathy, and not filled with a bunch of opinions. So the people that have the emotional intelligent quotient that is high create really safe places for people to be real. And we hope that we could each do that. So you don't have to be the smartest person in the room to create the room that's the safest place in the house. And we do that every time we have a conversation. If somebody says something lame, I've said a couple lame things in the decade that I've known Mark. I've said some lame things to you in the two decades I've known you.
Yeah, I meant to talk to you about that.
Yeah.
I made a list.
But somehow you create the room for me to find grace, to find a better angle on something that was a little murky. I was just kind of thinking out loud, and you gave me the grace to let myself find a better way to articulate that.
Well, one thought that stuck with me too from what Mark shared is he asked this question, who do you want to spend time with? And I think that's a pretty good take on a New Year's resolution coming into 2021 after the year we just went through. And if you're a little bit fuzzy on big goals that you have, maybe you're just not ready for that. Here's the idea. Maybe you can just make a list of who are the two or three people you want to invest in this next year. For many of us, we've been disconnected and isolated. Maybe it's time to change that. And we all know Zoom stinks, but maybe Zoom is what we've got as a tool for now. Or maybe there's another more creative way to spend time with folks. So who are you going to spend time with? Who are the people that are going to help build the room for you so that you have greater capacity to do that for others? And Bob, thanks for letting me spend some time in your room over the past year. And it's been a year for the ages, a year actually I wouldn't have traded, because we've had amazing conversations. We've gotten to talk about some deep topics and hopefully help a few people with encouragement along the way.
Yeah, and I'm just really grateful for, I think we were hearing from Tata, if there's several million downloads of people, it's like a worldwide family of friends. We've just been talking about things that matter, things that count. And I think for each of us, we can create a safe place and invite some people into it. Maybe not always the easy people, but some challenging people. Buoyed by the confidence of knowing that you have some depth and some support behind you, you could say, you know, I'm going to invite somebody in that's a little bit more challenging to me, and I'm going to see how I've grown. And if I can love them, notwithstanding the fact that they're flat wrong on something, that might be in the thought bubble, but you just leave it in the thought bubble, because what we're doing is create a safe place where relationships can go deep.
Well, with that being said, Here's the last thing. Merry Christmas, Bob.
Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho. And I've got the white whiskers to back that up.
Perfect. We're going to put that on a little meme or something. Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy New Year. We'll talk to you soon. Hey, here's some good news. 2020 is about to end. Here's even better news. We are launching a new subscription-based offering with exclusive content from the one and only Bob Goff. It's called Bob Weekly. And in standard Bob fashion, you can join him on his adventure of living a life of whimsy, love, and action. If you sign up each week, you will receive a video message from Bob, plus guided reflection exercises and activities that you can use for personal growth and for conversations with your friends. Now, more than ever, we need to look to voices we can trust. So if Bob's message has inspired you in the past, you're not going to want to miss out on joining Bob Weekly. Registration opens on Tuesday, December 15th. Join us, join Bob, as we get ready for a better year than 2020.